The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Jesse, I think I mentioned this to you. I thought after you guys pushed through with Dr. King, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, I thought we moved. What I didn't realize, I thought we had made enormous progress. And I was so proud to be a little part of it. But you know what, Rev? I didn't realize hate's never defeated. It only hides. It hides. And given a little bit of oxygen, just a little bit of oxygen by his leaders, it comes out of there from under the rock like it was happening again, as if it never went away.
And there's your fake president giving it a little bit of oxygen for sure. The hate speech that he had to offer yesterday in Tulsa, just up the road from us here in Oklahoma. But there he was, adding fuel to the fire. And then, of course, he made the statement, which we'll play later, that white supremacy is the most lethal threat facing the United States, facing the homeland. That's a little bit from your fake president, the illegitimate president, Joe Biden. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live stream of this program every day at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. We're also happy to be live with our partner in spreading the message, CRN Digital Radio Network. That's just the audio feed only, however. So if you enjoy what you hear on CRN and you'd like to view the beautiful set that we have here in central Oklahoma, just as I say, go to our website, thetrumpet.com. And every day at 11 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. on the West Coast, noon time on the East Coast, every day you can get to the banner right at the top of our website, thetrumpet.com, and it takes you right to our live stream page. And, of course, if you type in thetrumpet.com/live, you not only get to the live stream, but you get to all of our podcasts that are posted after the live broadcast concludes. Also, don't forget about our new weekend edition. We play that on the air in Phoenix, Arizona at 11 a.m. Phoenix time, KFNX. But then we also posted about that same time at our website, thetrumpet.com. One last thing, too, to remind you, tonight, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, tonight, Celtic Throne will be performing live. I should have brought the name of the venue, but you can find that at our other website, CelticThrone.com. You can also go to that website and purchase tickets for this evening's performance. I think the tickets are around $50 to $60, and it's from what I understand, it's a beautiful and big stage, which really will be great for the many performers that we put on stage. And it's also a relatively small venue as far as the theater is concerned, so it'll be a very intimate gathering. I would imagine anywhere that you sit will be a really good place to view the production. So that's Celtic Throne at Dallas, or more precisely in Irving, Texas, tonight starting at 7:30. Well, judging by some of the reading our staff has done regarding the Tulsa massacre from 100 years ago, the media today are not surprisingly, they're very selective. Certainly there was brawling and bloodshed, a mini race war, if you will. And the media are very selective. They're very one-sided. They don't give you much context. But we'll leave that to you to do some research. I think for this opening segment, the main thing that I want to focus on is Joe Biden. This is the man who occupies the White House. And there he is yesterday talking about how, I mean, there's a kernel of truth to what he's saying. You know, there is hate in our hearts. And all it needs is a little bit of oxygen. and it can turn into a full-blown riot. But what he doesn't understand is he's the one breathing life into rioting and civil war. That's right. He's in the position that he's in. Everyone's listening. And in some cases, they were cheering him on, the mostly black audience, yesterday in Tulsa. I just want to remind you of a few facts about critical race theory. This is something, again, that just before a few months ago, a lot of people never heard of this. This idea that started back in 1989, the same year that this church, by the way, started, the Philadelphia Church of God. And so here comes critical race theory, and it's basically beneath the surface for decades. And now it's all over the place. You can't go from one day to the next without hearing about it. And really what that speech in Tulsa was yesterday, it was critical race theory on display from the American Marxists, the American communists, trying to stir up strife and division, civil war, race war. Critical race theory, to just sum it up, it means if you're white, you're inherently racist, and that will never change. It was bad in 1921, and it's bad in 2021. That's the premise. That's what they're preaching. That's what they want to get into schools. This is from Andrew Miller's article, May 10th, earlier this year. It says, Marxism was built on the theory of class conflict. Karl Marx believed that the only way to end poverty was for the working class to overthrow the capitalist class in a violent revolution. But Marxism only became popular in feudal societies like Russia and China, where the people were poor and desperate enough to risk everything in a people's revolution. In a free market, societies like the United States, people could escape poverty through education, hard work, and good citizenship. It says, so the theory of class conflict never took root in the U.S. like it did in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Rather, and listen to this, rather than give up on their dream for a socialist society, Marxist scholars in the U.S. substituted race for class and sought to create a revolutionary coalition of ethnic minorities against the white majority. So, and there's the race hucksters sitting behind him, in fact. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all the usual suspects. And they're there stirring it up, the hatred, class warfare, substituted with racism. The racism that existed in 1921. And Joe Biden wants you to know, it's just as bad today. That's right. That's right. Listen to him yesterday in his speech in Tulsa, clip 9.
According to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today, not ISIS. Not Al-Qaeda, white supremacists. That's not me. That's the intelligence community under both Trump and under my administration.
White supremacy, the most, what do you say, lethal threat facing the homeland? I think Rudy Giuliani tweeted out, he said it best in his tweet, is there a day that goes by that Biden doesn't attack our country as systematically racist and evil? Every single day, the hatred for the United States and its institutions, the hatred for white people. Every single day, this is their campaign, stirring up strife, hatred. He gave some examples that he thought made the point for him. This is clip 14.
Just close your eyes and remember what you saw in Charlottesville 4 years ago on television. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, the KKK, coming out of those fields at night, Virginia, with lighted torches, the veins bulging on their as they were screaming. Remember, just close your eyes and picture what it was.
Just picture how it was in Charlottesburg, or Charlottesville, I think it's called, Virginia. If you remember, when he announced his campaign for president, he built it around Charlottesville. I mean, he was coming back to end racism and to restore decency to the United States, as he said. But there he is yesterday. I mean, you listen to him, and like Rudy Giuliani says, it's every day. So it's certainly not getting better. Certainly not. It's much, much worse. And then, of course, you can't get through a speech on race without bringing up January 6th as well, the so-called armed insurrection. This is clip 15.
Well, Mother Fletcher said when she saw the insurrection at the Capitol on January the 9th, it broke her heart. A mob of violent white extremists, thugs, said reminded her of what happened here in Greenwood 100 years ago.
So the Tulsa massacre, and this survivor, this one of the relatives of the few that survived to this day. I mean, it's 100 years on, so most have died that were anywhere near that race riot in 1921. But here's this woman there in the audience that says, January 6th, it reminded me of what happened in Tulsa 100 years ago. January 6th, where no weapons were confiscated, where nobody was killed except for Ashley Babbitt, killed by the police, and that's it. The media, though, they keep perpetuating the lie, the big lie, that an officer was murdered. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Look at some of this footage from January 6th. More and more of this footage, by the way, is rolling out. This is number 21. And what do you see? Of course, there were certain hot spots where there was some vandalism and smashing of windows and turning over tables and such. But for the most part, you had people like this just roaming the halls of Congress, taking selfies, taking pictures, walking by police. There's the police coming under fire. They're being attacked. There's the police just standing there watching the protesters. Unbelievable. And this is worse than Pearl Harbor, some have said. Worse than 9/11, some have said. And there's the fake president for his part, saying that, yeah, it's well, now it's like the Tulsa race riots from 100 years ago. You know, incidentally, there was a mass shooting over the weekend, and it made the news to the credit of, I forget which channel I turned on Sunday evening, ABC or NBC, but they were reporting on it. It happened, I think, late Saturday night. But from what I could see, just looking at the footage, it looked pretty obvious that it was gang warfare. One black gang shooting up another black gang. And I think something like 30 people were shot. And I think three died, at least according to initial reports. And what have you heard about this mass shooting since? I told my wife as we were watching the news Sunday night, wait until the propaganda media find out that both sides were black. It's black gang on gang warfare. And then they drop it. They're not interested in that. They're not going to be, you're not going to hear from AOC about gun control as a result of that shooting. You've got to wait for a white shooter. And then we want to go after the guns. If it's black on black, as I've pointed out so many times before with respect to violence in Chicago, you ignore it. You don't bring it up. You don't talk about it. But coming back to Joe Biden and this dangerous speech, hate speech. Hate speech, that's what it was. What is really going on here? Well, this is an administration that knows it's illegitimate. This is all that it has to start a race war. This is its ace in the hole. They know all that they can do to try to maintain their hold on power is to stir up hatred and strife, to ignite racial hatred and strife and even war. You've got to have something to go with, after all, once the election fraud is exposed. And that's what's happening. It's being exposed. And keep in mind, the same people that told you, oh, the Wuhan lab story, there's no truth to that. That's a dangerous conspiracy. Well, that's now been exposed. It was the truth. But the same people that told you for a year that was a dangerous conspiracy, they're now telling you that the election, November 3rd, it was perfect. No fraud, nothing. Well, what about these audits? What about the forensic audit in Arizona? What about the examination of those ballots coming up in Georgia? Well, the people examining it, they're evil. That's all that they really have. But they've got to have something more when the fraud is exposed. They've got to be able to say, it's been exposed. Well, they're not even going to say that. They're going to say it's an attack by the white supremacists. It's an attack by those evil, evil Donald Trump supporters. What you're really seeing, if you step back and look at the bigger picture, is you're seeing the walls, they're starting to close in on the radical left, on the American communists. They're being exposed at every turn. Look at the Wuhan lab story. It's finally being reported, the truth about that. Here, Anthony Fauci, this email dump yesterday, all of his emails are being scrutinized. He's being exposed as the fraud that he is. I saw an email alert from, again, Dr. Mercola saying that he should be in jail. He should be. He should be. The Arizona audit, that continues to go forward. They're revealing the steal. And if you think of it, that's probably the state where there's the fewest number of fake ballots because that's all that they needed. That was a race where it was actually super close. Quite unlike Pennsylvania and some of these others where they had to come up with hundreds of thousands of fake ballots. Yesterday, it was reported by OAN that Pennsylvania, I guess it was the state legislature, they sent this delegation to Arizona yesterday. And they want to examine the arena and the counting process and everything that Arizona's doing, which is going, leaving aside what Rachel Maddow says, it's going quite well, smoothly, efficiently. And so now this Pennsylvania delegation wants to go and observe it. I wonder why. Well, because there are more audits to come. And these Marxist revolutionaries, they're sweating under the collar. They certainly are. Maggie Haberman, she works at the New York Times. She tweeted out yesterday that and whether there's any truth to this or not, we don't know for sure. But she tweeted out that Donald Trump is telling his closest advisors that he's going to be reinstalled as early as August. And so that makes people nervous. That's a tweet from a New York Times reporter. Why would Donald Trump say something such as that? Then you have the former Trump attorney, Sidney Powell. Over the weekend, she's saying, well, why wouldn't he be reinstalled? If the fraud is exposed, you don't just leave the fake president in there. And so Sidney Powell says, of course you reinstall the one who actually won the election. As I say, you step back and look at the bigger picture. Now, that said, again, what we're seeing, stirring up racial hatred and strife, very dangerous. It's like these politicians are just playing with fire. My father wrote in the coworker letter, this is from 2012, he says, those in the radical left, they know that they have a huge army of white and mostly non-white supporters that they can ignite or could ignite into race riots and race wars. He wrote this in 2012, and well, we saw it happen last summer. They ignited race wars. Well, maybe it wasn't just one color against another. But the movement, BLM, Antifa, all of these grievances, they say they've been suppressed, oppressed for centuries now. So we've got to do something. We've got to burn and riot. We've got to make a statement. Peaceful protesting doesn't work. So we've got to take it further. And they did. And they had the full backing and support coming from radical leftist politicians. In Washington, in the media, and that's what they are in the media. They're politicians too. They're one and the same. Chris Cuomo and Nancy Pelosi, they might as well share the same office. They're working from the same talking points. Propaganda media, they're out there to spread the hate. It says here, and they would not hesitate to do so if it served their purpose. Soon that horrendous reality will explode in America. My father goes on to explain how the devil is behind all of this, and boy, he does capitalize on this emotional instability, just out of control emotions. Here's a president selectively going through history and, of course, only picking out the facts that he wants you to think on. Anyone in any race could go through the history books and find some kind of massacre, some kind of hatred, some kind of hateful act, and just keep throwing it in your face. Why do they keep doing this? Is it to try to bring healing to the nation? Is it to try to bring the nations together? It's just the opposite. It's to try to sow discord, strife, division, hatred, violence. Listen again to Joe Biden from yesterday. This is clip 10.
And finally, we must address what remains the stain on the soul of America. What happened in Greenwood was an act of hate and domestic terrorism with a through line that exists today still.
A through line that exists today. There's nothing different today as far as racial discord and division is concerned. It's as bad today as it was on that day in Tulsa 100 years ago. A through line to today. This is not a man who's coming in with the message about healing. He's not preaching about togetherness or unity. Far from it. He's there to tell you the whites are the problem. The whites are inherently racist. And of course, he's got his own baggage with respect to racism. But that's another story. There he is. On the one hand, he's pandering to this black audience. And then on the other hand, he insults them to their face. I'll come to that later. This is the way they operate. This is the way they operate, the radical left. Nothing about healing and how much farther ahead we are or how much opportunity there is today for blacks or Latinos or Asians when compared to 100 years ago. Just selectively sifting through history, searching for this massacre, searching for this injustice, and then getting up on the soapbox and telling people it's really bad, even today. I mean, it runs right through, it exists today still. The through line, it comes right through to June of 2021. I mean, this is the most lethal threat facing the homeland today. That's right. That's Joe Biden. Listen again to what he had to say. This is clip 11.
We memorialize what happened here in Tulsa so it can't be erased. We know here in this hallowed place, we simply can't bury pain and trauma forever. And at some point, there'll be a reckoning, an inflection point, like we're facing right now as a nation.
At some point, he said, there will be a reckoning. Wow. Is this someone who's trying to bring peace and unity to the nation he's leading? At some point, there will be a reckoning. This is like an open declaration of war. Not so much against white people on the whole, but white supporters of Donald Trump, white conservatives. Because remember, you got Charlottesville and you got January 6th. These were Trump supporters primarily. And again, they're very selective in the way that they report on Charlottesville, January 6th. So you know they're going to be selective about Tulsa. That's the way they operate. It's the narrative. It's the narrative that they create. It's not the facts. It's not the full story. It's not the context. It's the narrative. If it was honest, an honest commission that wanted to get to the bottom of January 6th, Why, they'd be exposing the police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt. They'd be showing you all of the video footage of people roaming the halls, looking at all of these iconic statues and such, and taking selfies and whatnot. And then they'd be looking into the people that have been abused in the Washington, D.C. jail, that have been sitting in there, some of them in isolation for 23 hours of the day, because they trespassed into the halls of Congress. But as you know, the radical left, they're not interested in that as far as investigations are concerned. They just want to find as many white Trump supporters as possible and put them in jail. If they were anywhere near the Capitol, put them in jail. They're white supremacists, after all. That's the greatest threat the homeland is facing, so says Joe Biden. This, as I played for you yesterday, this is Joe Biden finishing the job started by Barack Obama, who was there for 8 years along with his wife and all of his supporters, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and so on, stirring up hatred and division, attacking the police, law enforcement. And as Barack Obama said in an interview with the New York Times, he's got all my staff. It's just, this is my third term. I mean, he's not even hiding that fact. He can come out now and, I mean, go bold. Go in for the kill. There's Joe Biden yesterday saying, this is the worst, most dangerous, greatest threat that we're facing as a nation. It's coming from those Donald Trump supporters. So we've got to go after them. It's war, after all. Listen to him as he talked about the white supremacists from a century ago. This is clip 13.
Flames from those burning crosses torched every region of the country. Millions of white Americans belonged to the Klan. And they weren't even embarrassed by it. They were proud of it. And that hate became embedded systematically and systemically in our laws and our culture. We do ourselves no favors by pretending none of this ever happened or it doesn't impact us today, because it does still impact us today.
And so there he is talking about the Ku Klux Klan from 100 years ago, saying that there were people in that organization, that white supremacist organization, that weren't even embarrassed by it. Not even embarrassed. And that happened a century ago. We can't forget it. We cannot forget it. We've got to hold it right out there in front of the nation constantly. That's critical race theory. And then meanwhile, this was just happening 2-3 days before Joe Biden arrived at Tulsa. This was happening in Tulsa. These are the black supremacists that were out on the street preaching hate. And I guess they're not embarrassed by it. Notice clip 12.
Now, because when it's time, get that hand. Because that time is coming, we have to rat-a-tat-tat. And when that time is coming, a rat-a-tat-tat, Cracker will kill everything white in sight. They ain't right. Because all what you have done to us, all what you've done with a 6,000-year span of killing 600 million of us in 480 years in particular, and 150 million in the past. That time, the day is up, because this is the time, and this is the state of the race address, because they are a race and trying to hold on to power, because race has beginning and an ending. And your ending time has been up since 1914. No good, Cracker. What?
Now. Your end is near. You know, some derogatory terms he throws in and talks about not 400 years of persecution, but 6,000 years and hundreds of millions of blacks murdered. And your time is coming, and we're going to kill everything white in sight. That's the streets of Tulsa. He had a fairly large gathering there cheering him on. And I presume no law enforcement, at least if they were there, I guess they weren't, they didn't at all think it was inappropriate or unlawful for him to spew out that hatred. Not even embarrassed. Not punished, nothing. They're waiting for their time. And that time is approaching. Ezekiel 4 and 5 says so. So does Isaiah 1 and verse 7. They're just, as my father said in that coworker letter, they know there's an army out there. They know all it takes. Look at last summer. All it takes is one ugly incident. And we can see rioting, looting, burning, shooting, murdering on a mass scale at a city near you. That's all that it takes. My father wrote in 2016 about the agenda behind Black Lives Matter, this Marxist movement. It says, like the Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement is also, or like the Black Panthers, I should say, the Black Lives Matter movement is also becoming known for its chants, comparing American police to pigs and so on. It says, the leaders of this movement are scrutinizing and magnifying, I mean, he hits this right on the head, they're scrutinizing and magnifying the issue of racism among America's law enforcement officers for evil purposes. See, they've got to find just one incident. And it's the same with Joe Biden and the history at Tulsa. They've got to go in there, find a few facts that they can put forward and maybe twist and manipulate even. Tell the story a little bit differently. And then get you angry and get you hating your brother. Get you hating your fellow American. Get you dwelling on the grievance from centuries ago in some cases. You see how Satan is able to really pounce on this kind of radical ideology. He says further on in his piece, they want revolution and war. Well, backing up, it says they're stirring up emotion and anger, but none of it is intended to solve the problem. They want revolution and war. He says their plan can only end with the overthrow of our constitutional republic. We've got to think about where this is leading, and I know I've brought these things up to you before, but look at where this is leading. My father gave a Key of David program back in 2012. Again, he talked about Satan's work in all of this. Listen to my father from 8 or 9 years ago, clip 17.
Today we see on television and hear on radio racist remarks just frequently. Now, if you stop and think about that, I mean, they're just flying all over the place. What is just the natural outcome of that? If you're going to use a little psychology here, well, the natural outcome of it is race riots and race wars. I wonder if we know what is really happening in our country and in other countries, but especially the U.S., what is really happening? Do we understand what is happening on this earth, and do we know why it's that way? Well, I'll tell you, a major part of it is because Satan has been cast down now, and he's full of wrath because he knows he has but a short time.
That's from 2012. My father asking, do we really see what's happening here? Can you just think a step or two ahead at the natural outcome of all of this? And then on another program, he talked about just how vulnerable we are to attacks from without. When they look at this nation, when they look at America, and they see such sickness, head to toe, as Isaiah 1 says. Listen to my father from, this is from 2015, clip 18.
But let me give you just a warning that you won't ever hear much about. But, and you almost never hear it, I think, and that is if you have problems within, all kinds of problems within, race riots, race problems, anarchy, chaos, and all that, it just makes you very vulnerable to these powerful nations outside, other nations of the world. Just consider Russia and China and radical Islam are just gobbling up the territory of their neighbors even as I speak. You think they wouldn't attack America if we were weak and divided and hating each other and tearing each other apart?
That's my father from 2015. Think of what Russia and Europe, European nations, Germany, China, what must they be thinking right now as they see us committing suicide, national suicide? as they see us turning on one another. Mr. Armstrong, we often talk about our magazine, the Trumpet magazine, being ahead of its time. Tomorrow's news today. You can get the headlines of tomorrow today at the Trumpet. But before us, Herbert Armstrong, of course, had his own magazine, The Plain Truth. Started that back in the 1930s, and it continued right up through to his death in 1986. We, of course, put together this brochure. He was right, talking about the many prophecies that Mr. Armstrong brought to our attention. They were spot on, this article from 1963. There was quite a lot of racial unrest, division, strife in the United States at that time. And he talked about root causes. And he talked about, in this personal from 1963, he talked about how that we won't turn to God. We won't get God's perspective. And so we're only going to make matters worse. He says, today, as it has been for 6,000 years, man is struggling with problems, injustices, evils, and that have been man-created. It says, man ignores or defies the inexorable laws of God. The laws that God set in motion, he institutes ways and customs and practices contrary to the laws of God. Thus, he creates his own problems. Then he strives to solve those problems and to right those wrongs by the ways that seem right to human reasoning. So we create our own problems. We've talked about this with respect to the Wuhan flu. We create the disease, and then we create the solution, supposed to be the vaccine, and that causes more problems. I'll come to that at a later date, hopefully this week. Lots to get to with respect to the sickness. In this case, the literal sickness. I just don't have enough time in 1 hour broadcast to cover everything. It says here, God says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God also says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the revealed knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's ways and laws. It says, because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you. He's quoting from Hosea 4, obviously. And then Mr. Armstrong writes, this explains the basic cause of the present racial trouble. It explains also why all of man's efforts towards solution are leading only to more and more racial prejudice, resentment, hatred, injustice, and violence. He says this racial strife, now worldwide, is going to be solved, but not by man, nor by man's present methods. It's certainly not going to be solved by the message that Joe Biden and the radical left are bringing to the nation. It's just the opposite. It's going to add to the strife and the division and the hatred. It's going to fuel more protesting, more rioting, more burning. It says, man today is leaving God out of the picture. Man finds himself in a world with a racial problem. He didn't create the problem, but his forefathers did. The blacks see themselves as victims of certain discriminations. And in a lot, of course, in history, there were, and there still are discriminations today. But what will this do if you constantly go before black audiences and say, you are a victim, you're oppressed, you've been cheated? Listen to Joe Biden again from yesterday in Tulsa. This is clip 16.
That the data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have accountants.
They have good ideas, he says, to these black people, but they don't have lawyers. They don't have accountants. I mean, that's kind of like what he said with respect to voting. It's got to be super duper easy because he implied that some blacks don't have computers. They don't know how to work the internet. Or they don't have ID, so we can't demand voter ID. Here he is, as I say, on the one end, he's pandering to this audience, and then in the very next breath, he insults them. When have you heard that blacks don't have accountants or can't seek legal advice from lawyers? It happens all the time. But what he's doing there is, of course, telling them, you're a victim. He's treating them like slaves, like they're still slaves. You can't do anything because of white oppression. It's just a bunch of nonsense, and it's intended to fuel hatred. He wants to breathe life into racial division and warfare. Just like he said at that segment, or that clip we played at the top of the segment. It's really sad and almost agonizing to watch this unfold, to see the resentment and the anger building all across the nation, in whites and blacks and everyone in between. So much division, so much strife. And Mr. Armstrong was spot on. He says the blacks see that they're a victim of certain discriminations in certain areas of life. He's suffering certain injustices. Those leaders who are agitating this present crusade keep telling him of these injustices. The ones that are agitating, see the race baiters, the race hucksters, they keep telling the audience, you've been oppressed. You've been in captivity. You've been cheated. They keep talking to them like they're, as I say, almost as if they're slaves today. And that, in a lot of ways, that's the way the Democratic Party looks at them. They want them. They want many in the inner city to stay in poverty so that they can keep telling them, look at where you are. Look at how you've been cheated. Look at how much the white man owes you. What a contrast. Consider this. This was at Citizen Free Press. I don't know too much about the video, but this is a black father. He's sitting there with his daughter. I don't know how old she is, but just the two of them in less than a minute, totally destroying critical race theory, just totally destroying this nonsense, this craziness, this Marxist ideology. It's not class warfare anymore. Remember, it's race warfare. We got to divide the races and listen to the refreshing common sense coming from this young black father and his little daughter, clip 19.
Daddy teaches you you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow. Right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color they are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See, this is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not gonna happen. My baby's gonna know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard, and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends, no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
And good for him. Good for that young man saying to his daughter, look, you're in the land of the free, home of the brave, as we just passed Memorial Day. The people that have sacrificed their lives so that we could have freedoms, so that we could pursue life, so that we can live life to the full, so that we can befriend people of all races and be prosperous and successful if we're driven and motivated. That's the message that he's delivering to his daughter. What a contrast. If Joe Biden was sitting with that little girl, what would he tell her? Mr. Armstrong again, he says, those leaders who are agitating this present crusade keep telling the minorities of all these injustices. Mr. Armstrong said this, and listen to this. Of course, there is another side of this picture. This is the side they don't want to bring up, though. Remember, it's got to be very selectively chosen. It says the blacks in the United States are the recipients also of fabulous blessings, which their brothers in Africa could and should, but do not enjoy. This, of course, alludes to the blessings God's bestowed upon America because of what he promised to Ephraim and Manasseh. You can delve into that. with the United States and Britain in prophecy, and of course, a study of many chapters in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. But he talks about the blessings that we all have in the United States of America. You didn't hear about any of that in the hate speech at Tulsa yesterday. It says here, but the Crusaders put emphasis only on the dark side. They never remind American blacks that, as a whole, they have more and larger refrigerators, electric washing machines, radio and television sets, automobiles, and even homes than the average white person is able to afford in England, France, Spain, or Italy. Now, that's something he wrote back in the 1960s, but I suspect it's true even today. I mean, I've been in England, and England's a very prosperous nation. It's a very prosperous Western nation for sure. Lots of wealth, lots of rich people. But on the whole, I mean, this, just the sheer size and space that you have in the United States and the size of homes just for ordinary people. And then the comparing, and I know home prices are going up in the United States, but comparing the cost of living to the heartland, let's say, and compare that to the Midlands or anywhere around London. Of course, it's expensive in New York. It's expensive in San Francisco, too. But the wealth and the prosperity God's bestowed upon us, all of us, of every race. And then you look at the problems and the curses that have come upon us because of all of our sins, the sins of all of us, the sins of every race. Romans 5. In verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Everyone is guilty. This is the message that every race needs. And this, of course, alludes to the only solution to racial division and strife, and that is the love of God, the spiritual race, if you can put it that way. Verse 17 in Romans 5, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. This is how you heal the division, the divide between races. It's by both sides letting the mind of Jesus Christ in. Now, there's a certain order and structure to the way things will be set up in the world tomorrow. God loves the races. God wants the races to build up and to grow. He loves the purity of the races, of all races. He created us, after all. He created variety. He loves variety. Verse 18, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men of to condemnation. Well, again, it goes and talks about how the sins came through one man. And, well, the obedience comes through one as well. And that would be Jesus Christ. Christ in us. People want to put everything, they want to put it all on the physical level. And like I say, the leaders are there agitating. They're there telling this group or that group about all the injustices, telling them about grievances, telling them about what you can complain about, quite unlike this young father who told his daughter, look, you're in America. You can do whatever you want. You can be whoever you want to be. Acts 17. In verse 24, my father went through these verses a few years ago in a Key of David program. It says here, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life. God gives us all life. And what a blessing. Considering where we could have been born or brought into this world, what a blessing it is to be living in the land of Manasseh, It's nothing against any other nation, but the opportunities. A land, by the way, a land with a white majority that voted in a black president just a few years ago. Where do you see this on earth today? In fact, they voted for him twice. Where do you see this in any other place on earth? Is there a nation where there's a large, you know, Asian majority that's voted in a black leader? Or a black nation primarily that's voted in a white leader? Has this happened? It happened right here in the United States. And then you've got a person of color that is a woman too now serving in the fake vice presidency. It says here, God who gives to all life and breath and all things and has made of one blood all nations of men. We all have the same blood, don't we? Those heroes that sacrificed their lives, white, black, brown, yellow. Those Americans that sacrificed their lives for our freedoms. They all bleed the same color of blood, don't they? One blood, it says there, has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. In Genesis 3 and verse 20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Same blood, same mother for all of us. Genesis 9:19, it says, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. We all came from that same family. Can you believe that? I mean, that's a pretty powerful, unifying message. God says to the different races on earth today, he says, you're all of one blood. God made us all. And yet look at the division and the strife and the hatred. Look at the racism that we see on display daily. White supremacy, black supremacy, brown supremacy, yellow supremacy. It's all over the earth. And it's about to explode in world war. That's been our history. It was there from the very beginning. Hatred and strife, wars, rumors of wars, as Jesus prophesied. Malachi 2 and verse 10. Notice here it says, and this is talking more in the spiritual sense, but the spiritual sense is the solution, as I said. It says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? It says, why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Why do we deal treacherously with each other? Don't we have one Father? Here you get a preview. You can peer into the solutions to all of the division and the strife that we see in the world today. You can see, you can begin to see how God is going to set up and establish his kingdom on this earth. We thank you for being a Trumpet Daily listener and viewer. And for those of you that are new to the program, we've been on the air for 6 years now. And whether you're a longtime listener and viewer or you're coming in fresh, we're very happy to have you with us on this show. By the way, you will often hear us telling you about some of the fantastic writings of Herbert Armstrong, my father, and if I can just plug the incredible human potential, just to speak about the oneness and the unity and the potential that we all have, of every race, all of us, we have this. Contact our operators today. You can call us 1-866-930-3024 and request Incredible Human Potential. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.